Hey!
What? Why?
It's been a minute.
Yeah, hi. This is Andrew, and I'm with Sarah.
Yeah.
In case you forgot.
Yeah, we took some time off, personal reasons, but we're back.
So here we are, and it's since it's been a while since you and I have done an episode together.
Has somebody else come and done an episode for us?
Well, you, we've
that was
had
spoken
the
in such a way where somebody else hopped on.
But we've been doing interviews for the last several agents and home inspectors. And so now it's the two of us.
And now we have to just deal with each other for a conversation.
Yeah. And now, now we have to be interesting. So we were discussing what has it been like running a home inspection business in this market.
Yeah, and I think it'd just be a business in general, because like we know other tradespeople and other, you know, business owners. It's just, it's a very interesting year we were in.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing in real estate to be in a seller's market. I mean, because in reality, we've been in a seller's market for like the past 5 years or so.
We bought in a seller's market.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of been like that, but
it's like exceptionally so.
Yeah. There's some unique things happening.
Yeah. And one of the major things that just is, I find very odd, because if you are basing any thoughts on facts, it shouldn't be a thing. But one of the things that keeps popping up is this like the 08 bubble and everything's going to crash? Well, if you were aware of what was going on in 08, then you already know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. And so why it's even coming up, because lending is tight, tighter than it was certainly in 08 when it was loose. Mm-hmm. But in the last, I would say 3 to 4 years, lending has been tightened up a bit. Mm-hmm. To where people who are maxed out in lending has been, that means that people who borrow, the bar to borrow more has been lowered. So you can't, they will tell you no. Mm-hmm. And so people have to get creative and go borrow somewhere else, which that's on them. That's not on the bank. That's what happened in 08. The bank was just super lax. That's not the case this year. Mm-hmm. It's just supply and demand.
Yeah.
So the house that was worth 210 on Tuesday, that's going for 250 on Friday, that's the value of the house now. Mm-hmm. It's because the house over there on Wednesday sold and raised the value for the neighborhood now. Mm-hmm. That's just economics. Supply and demand, and that is, it's hitting the housing market. I mean, building, sorry, I'm just going to go off on a tangent. Building kind of stopped a couple of years ago. People overborrowed and didn't finish a job. And the houses weren't completed. And now with millennials coming up, buying homes way sooner than the previous generation, people splitting. Now I need a new house. Mm-hmm. People downsizing, people upsizing because their families are growing. It's just like the perfect storm where we just don't have the inventory. Mm-hmm. And interest rates, which is why people are thinking it's 08. It's so based on not facts and based on just decided fear. Mm-hmm. Interest rates are historically low. That doesn't mean that their borrowing is lenient. It just means interest rates are low. So you can buy a house for way more house for the price of the mortgage you probably currently have. Mm-hmm. If you want to move up in house, you can get a bigger house for the same mortgage rate. Mm-hmm. The same mortgage rate, not the same price.
Right.
But because the interest rate is lower, your payment will probably not be much different mm-hmm. for more house. Now, if you're dropping in house, your payment's going to be significantly lower. Mm-hmm. But it's just a beautiful time to buy in a very competitive market because of the interest rates.
Yeah, it is a great time
to
buy.
And so it's not a bubble.
Yeah, it's, and every ebb and flow, you know, every season comes to an end.
Yes,
But
and it's going to.
You know, here's my thought on this, is ever since the market ramped back up, like skyrocketed right after this pandemic stuff hit, and it's like, oh, okay, we can carry on.
Right.
And it was like a slingshot, as was predicted by most. I think what happened is you immediately had blogs and various other media were going, oh, this is going to crash, and you know, whatever.
It's always the case.
They're doing that because they just want to be, they're going to keep doing that because as soon as it, you know, as soon as it stops,
people like drama.
Then they're going to go, I was right.
Yeah.
So this is really just a media race to be right. So they're going to keep saying the same stupid stuff over and over and over again.
But it's not based on any...
Yeah.
Like if you were an adult in 08 and you were shopping around in 08 and you caught a deal, you know what it's like. If mm-hmm. you bought a house that you were lent the money, but you didn't look at your bank account and say, geez, I really can't afford this. Because all the lender at the time was looking at your credit score and they weren't looking at your debt to income ratio, mm-hmm. which is what really determines whether or not you can afford the house you're buying. Okay. Mm-hmm. Your credit score is just a, how much do you borrow? How much do you pay back? How much in debt are you over that balance? That's all that is. That is not a credit score. That's 672 does not mean that you have like $500,000 in the bank. You could have $100 in the bank and have a 720 credit score, but mm-hmm. you're still broke. Mm-hmm. It's debt to income. That's why it tightened up, because the banks are looking at that now. Mm-hmm. And it's just so annoying to me that people choose to ignore the obvious math equation mm-hmm. and say, oh, but isn't it? It's like, dude, just don't buy a house if you're scared. Just miss out on the deal. Because the low interest rates is what I think is grace, because the market is such a seller's market and people are having to make higher offers mm-hmm. to even get considered. Although I do know people have purchased, like the realtors we work with, some have like gotten below ask and still got the house because of mm-hmm. other creative techniques that they use. Like they're just very creative. Mm-hmm. And others acknowledge and say, hey, this is what we're going to have to do. Because the only thing that's not low inventory are multi-million-dollar homes. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
It's just nuts.
Yeah, it is nuts. And there's, there's you know, other than... over asking, you know, submitting offers for over asking, people, you know, quote unquote overpaying. You know, there's also been things like people have been willing to go to, I think, too extreme of a length to get a house. And with the market, like the, I think the craze has made people make some really poor decisions. You know, such as skipping the home inspection, mm-hmm. Skipping, in some cases that's okay, I'll talk about that later, but skipping the home inspection, skipping the appraisal. You know, or in some cases, it doesn't appraise, and so they just
the
walk
away. The
only
time I would skip any of those things, like the appraisal, would be in Dilworth. Because we know, like, you can have a dumpster in your yard at Dilworth and your value will go up. It's like the only place in Charlotte where if you have a dumpster to renovate, it increases your market value.
Well,
I'm not even kidding you. It's phenomenal.
Well, and
Dilworth, I would waive the friggin'.
And this kind of has me, you know, because when I hear people talking about, you know, waiving the appraisal, it's like, can people even do that? Like, are lenders even allowing that?
If they have cash, it's you have to have the capital.
Okay.
Yeah, it's people who have savings.
Okay.
You can do anything you want with cash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
I still wouldn't, but.
That's to each their own. Like, yeah, I know. Yeah. So anyway, I'll just
but
skip
I'm not
that.
In
that's
that position.
Too much info. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I think that we have, and this is a total aside, we have become a culture where if we don't know about something, we still voice our opinion. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. which is why people are, this whole, isn't it like 08 has spread? Ignorance. And the people who listen to it don't know any better and don't look into it. And so the ignorance spreads because people still are voicing opinions and fears. And it's like, just dear diary it. Take it to your journal, take it to your counselor, take it to your spouse, talk about it and don't type it up. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Though I posted earlier this week, one of the best gifts we could give our kids is to teach them not to give opinions about something they don't know about. Mm-hmm. Just listen. And I know we've become such a culture that is so opinions based and so fear based that the news has become less reporting on the news mm-hmm. and more just spreading rumors. Cause
well, it's quote unquote news analysis.
That's another word for gossip.
Yeah.
yeah, because like when we watched TV before, like when we had a TV in our house.
I don't remember that.
It was a long time ago. We used to watch French news.
Yeah.
France 24.
Mm-hmm.
Because they actually reported on American things that we weren't getting here. And it's like, what is happening? But yeah. This is what I'm going to watch.
Yeah.
It's just nuts. And that's not a political statement. That's truth. Like, I'm not making a case for Democrats or Republicans or green people or tree huggers or whatever. Vote green. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Ralph Nader all the way.
A surefire way to get your vote not to count is to ... No, but seriously, like, people here, it's been, like, on a fast track since I think I was, I mean, when I came online mm-hmm. and started paying attention to politics, I was, like, a 15-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, it's been on the fast track to mudslinging and opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so sad to know that there are people who eat this up. It's like their religion. Like, they turn it on all the time. They don't give their brains a break enough to, like, now you're inundated. Now you have, what is the word? When people kind of in propaganda and, like, what do they call it? When you're like, oh, you want to homeschool your kids so you can flood them with all this information. It's like, yeah, exactly.
Oh,
what do they call that?
I'm blanking.
I'm blanking on what that is called.
We're blanking together. When we blank. We blank together or something like that.
Indoctrinate. People are indoctrinating themselves.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's like they're choosing to believe these things, and it's like, you have to be smarter than this. I know you.
If I'm indoctrinated, can you call me doctor?
Yes.
Okay.
And I've literally had conversations with people that I once had tremendous respect for, and listening to them wanting me to agree with them and not wanting me to understand their point of view.
Uh-huh.
I've not voiced anything. Oh, man.
And we'll pause.
Sorry, that was a really dear friend, and I wanted to answer that.
We'll pause for certain people.
Yes. There's like two people I will pause for. And so, let me finish my thought. So, I've had conversations with people where I have not voiced my opinion or thoughts on the matter, and I'm just trying to listen to them so I can understand. And my trying to understand them and asking questions has been insulting to them.
Yes.
It's like, why aren't you agreeing with, like, they're getting emotionally riled up. And it's like, this is not like a emotional thing for me. I'm just trying to understand you.
Yeah, it's not a rhetorical question
it's
or
not.
A trick question.
I'm literally just trying to understand your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't explain it.
Yeah.
And I'm asking questions like, but don't you, like, you're allowed to change your mind, but this doesn't align with...
They're questions that stem from logical thought.
Yeah, and so it's just been, I've literally lost... intellectual respect for people that I used to look up to or mm-hmm. at least hold as a peer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not me boasting myself. That's literally like, I thought you were somebody who was reasonable
mm-hmm.
and not emotionally charged on such a minor issue. Like, this is not an issue that's going to affect anyone in 5 years. So why are you dying on this hill? And I'm just not even disagreeing with you, nor am I agreeing with you.
Yeah.
But the fact that I'm not agreeing with you, I'm neutral because I just want to listen.
Neutral
is
still disagreement, right?
Neutral is disagreeing now. And I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like two people where I talk to things about because I know they're like me where they're just like, here's what I think.
Yeah, let's think about
this. What do you think?
Together.
Help me. Am I thinking about this? Like, challenge this thought. I have two friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have more friends, but we're busy and we don't connect as often, but... Two that I connect with still that I'm just like, okay, you're safe to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to come at me with like a bat because I'm not saying, yes, you're right, me too. You know, it's like, chill out.
You're right, they're right. Everybody's right.
Everybody's right. Yes, no one's right.
If everybody's right, nobody's right.
Yeah, you have to know where you stand before you get up. You're going to trip.
So anyhow, that cultural mindset coming together with a... seller's market, real estate, in the middle of a pandemic. And oh my goodness, what a cocktail that is.
Yeah. It's
because you see these emotions come out in, out in the field, so to speak. So
to be true. It's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Literally out in the field. It's crazy.
And when I was doing home inspections, as a younger person,
as a wee lad,
as a wee musician.
Give it a decade. Go back a decade in time.
Yeah. If I go back and think about those summers that I was doing it, it was not anywhere close to being like this.
No.
It's even though there was a need back then, I think, for more, you know, interpersonal connection between the inspector and the client and the agent. It wasn't like a necessary thing for it to be a good experience in the way that it is now.
I mean, it would have been nice. It would have been nice. But it's more necessary now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because you and I, we think our whole stance is it has to be relational. It has to be customer service based.
Yeah.
Guest service based, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But
like what that looked
especially
like.
Especially so now.
Yeah, like what that looked like 10 years ago versus what it, you know, what we think it should look like today.
Oh, totally.
I mean, they're two different things.
Yeah.
I mean, even 5 years ago.
Did you do any home inspections for people who were foreclosed on after the 08 crash?
We did a lot of foreclosures.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
That'd be hard.
A lot of bank-owned.
Yeah.
A lot of bank-owned properties after the bank had bought it and somebody was buying it from the bank. We did a lot of those.
Yeah.
And those were some of the worst ones.
I was going to say, we had one experience with a bank-owned property recently that was you had to go out several times after. Because this was shut off, that was shut off, that had to be turned back on, but this wasn't back on. It was just like a lot.
Yeah.
The good thing is you got a lot more footage for the client. You know, you were able to go back and...
Well, because in the middle of that, I was getting my drone
certification. Yeah, you got some drone footage and you checked other things out. Like, you just were like, well, I'm here.
So, well, yeah, I don't waste an opportunity to go back out.
It was just so... I felt so bad for the buyer's agent. Because they have to deal with that when it's the bank, you know? They have both loads now. It's just too much.
Yeah, that was an interesting one.
Yeah. But
yeah, like some of the bank-owned properties were... that was where some of the worst, contractor work.
Mm-hmm.
I saw insulation installed upside down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a classic. So... But what are some... You want to talk about what some things that we've learned, you know, in this last... I don't know. Stretch, you know, since we talked about this last.
Yeah.
Because it has been a lot.
We learned a lot about grace this season, having received it and having to have extended it.
Mm-hmm.
We needed tighter processes for working with partners.
Yeah.
For quality control.
Mm-hmm. Especially true because so many of the houses that we were inspecting were occupied because people... working from home, going to school at home, and the whole house is occupied by the entire family.
Yeah, that's challenging.
And they didn't leave for the inspection.
Well, yeah, because a lot of people don't want to leave home still. So
yeah, because they're
in middle school.
They were in school and they were at work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't just that they were, you know, I'm not leaving my house.
No, they literally couldn't leave their house.
And so there were some challenges that came with that. It's like, okay, we got to think about what we need to communicate to the listing agent when we're going in, because if somebody's in their bedroom and the door's closed, or like what happened one time where somebody was asleep in their bed during the inspection, I'm not going in there.
Right. That's creepy for everyone.
I'm not going in there.
Yeah.
Even if the door is open.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, one of the things that I put in writing was, you know, any kind of entrance into a bedroom or something that would constitute a violation of privacy, I'm not doing it. I'm not going in.
Yeah.
Period.
And people in real estate know what we're talking about.
Yeah. I've had to do inspections where they were on a conference call. You know, somebody, they were working.
Yeah, you can't.
And I can't go in there.
Right.
And, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just kind of have to work around that. You know, does that mean that the inspection is a throwaway? No. But... it's just something to, hey, plan ahead a little bit, and if you can, and so.
Yeah, because more often than not, these are not last minute, so, but sometimes there are. Sometimes it's later that day, you get something booked, and so, but that's rare. Quality control, because people make mistakes, but having to definitely oversee that, because we had... for one agent, because it was two, you know, people we partnered, it was a company we partner with that had within the same week, a couple of jobs And for our same one agent who was so gracious, I felt so bad for her. Yeah. There were two mess ups and they weren't small. And it involved the lender. And so having to get on that and then seeing, okay, let's just refund it, mm-hmm. which came from our pockets because they're, I mean, they honestly probably should have refunded it, but it was on our end. And so mm-hmm. like we're that contact. So we're just going to refund it. Mm-hmm. Like no hesitation there. And how do we make this not happen again? Mm-hmm. And communicate this very clearly because two is too much for me. Mm-hmm. One is too much, yeah. but I could, two is too much, but I was in the same week.
They so were like, close together and with the same person. Agent.
So like, yeah, so it was just rough. So, cause you don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
Ever. But people make mistakes. And mm-hmm. so just making sure.
Control the controllables.
Control the controllables. This could have been controlled had we mm-hmm. had a procedure, but we were too trusting, I guess, you know? So.
Yeah, there's a little bit of naivete there. On my part as well. But yeah, just, it, you know, not that we don't, you know, not that, you know, trust has, you know, been shattered.
No.
But, you know, it's just, you know, you got to control what you can control and.
Make sure that it's perfect for the client when they receive it. There are zero mistakes and mm-hmm. they understand what it says. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Yep.
It needs to be nice and clean and proper for them. So when it comes time to closing and they're going through all the final things, there's zero problems. Mm-hmm. So, because that stuff's already annoying admin work anyway. You don't want to make it harder for them.
Yeah. yeah. So those, I think those learnings were really good. And they were all, you know, it's all, not all of the learnings, but most of the learnings have been like back end business owner kind of learnings as yeah. opposed to technical out in the field. Which, you know, I think most, if you run a home inspection business, the tendency is to focus on the technical, you know, because it's a technical job, but it's so much more.
100%.
And
yeah, I mean,
it's not the priority. It's not number one.
No.
So.
On the field needs to be on point. Mm-hmm. But like, I would say even more so the back end. Yeah. Unless you just own your job and you're going day to day. Mm-hmm. I would, yeah. You got to have a business mindset.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not that you sacrifice the technical, you know, for the, there's, there no, can
I'm not
be both.
That. It needs
yeah.
to be both.
Yeah. I know you're not. I'm just yeah. clarifying that.
Yeah.
I, it's actually because of that, that is something that I've learned is, you know, how to not sacrifice the technical for the business. And so a lot of my continuing education is happening between jobs on my phone. Because, hey, we got these great devices.
Yeah.
I don't have to go into an office and click through a bunch of videos for several hours a day. You know, I don't have to block out huge chunks of time for that. I have found, you know, pretty good ways to stay up on what's going on and to refresh practices and procedures while, you know, while I'm working.
Yeah.
And this is where it's been good to also have a good, network of other contractors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's so much that goes into a house. One person, just can't know it all.
Doctors don't know it all. When you yeah. have, like when I had to go in for surgery, he would say, I referenced this and I pulled this out, and he would literally reference things while he would just pull a book off his shelf and mm-hmm. you're not made to remember it all. I mean, we are, but we yeah. can't access those parts of our brain yet, you know? So it's like, mm-hmm. you have to be able to reference it. And that, especially for you, because you feel like you have to know it all.
Yeah. I think I've gotten better.
Yeah, you have. You definitely have.
Oh, thanks. Especially when it comes to some of these specialty aspects, you know, I get text messages from agents quite often, and I got one where it's like, hey, take a look at the wiring of this box, you know, is this right? And I'm looking at it, I'm going, no, it doesn't look right.
Let me call the electrician.
but I'm like, to me this doesn't look right, but I don't know specifically what to tell you how to fix it. Like, I would, as a home inspector, say, yeah, you should get an electrician to look at it.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I got an electrician.
Yeah.
On speed dial.
And especially with, like, for example, commercial inspections. we have to have a team with us.
Mm-hmm.
We just like,
yeah,
for the level of detail that they need for a commercial inspection, we have to partner with electricians or HVAC guys, or, and so it's just wonderful to know people who are very masterful in that area.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, because you could always find any schmo, you know, but to find people who are passionate about what they do and fair and take a teacher's approach to it,
mm-hmm,
is everything. And so, yeah, it's just, there's so much that goes into it on the back end, finding the right people to work with and aligning your schedules and making sure,
mm-hmm,
you're paid, you pay them. It's just, yeah, definitely have been learning a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And networking is fun and also exhausting.
Yeah.
Our son decided to fly. We were meeting with a woman, and we had to take the kids with us. And our two-year-old kept trying to jump off the couch. And I'm like, buddy, couches are not for jumping off of. And you're getting the drink order. Yeah. And he takes a swan dive into the edge of the coffee table that is like this big metal and thick glass. And I'm like, oh,
yeah, I heard
God.
It from the line. I heard the boom and then the cry.
So the meeting lasted 5 minutes and we ended up going to the doctor. He's fine, totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't look or sound fine. So we just was like, we were just,
We gone.
We see you later. But we went to the doctor and she was so wonderful and understanding. She's like, you should go to that. I'm like, yeah, definitely.
We are a family business.
Yes.
In every sense of the word.
Yeah, our four-year-old was telling her he had a home inspection later that day and what he was going to do, and she was telling it. But yeah, it's just been, it's an interesting and a lot to juggle sometimes, and fun though overall.
Yeah.
Yeah, the best thing about starting your business in a pandemic is you get like a crash course, mm-hmm, in delivering excellence, like if that's your goal.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our goal. So it's been really cool to have it in this season because it's been seriously like an intensive, which is great.
Well, I've needed it for me because, you know, I'm the overthinker, you know, ready, aim. And this this season has pushed me to grow in that area.
Yeah.
To understand that I'm not going to know it all, no matter how much I try. And just got to do it. Yeah. Just got to go out and do it. And it's been,
I was going to say, even if you do know it all, it serves you no purpose if you're not going to do anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, great. I say this with no sarcasm, really. This was a great time to start a business.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great time to start a home inspection business.
And if you're financially in a right space, meaning you have no debt, I know people are rolling their eyes when I say that. If you got no debt and you got a big savings account, it's a great time to buy.
Mm-hmm.
If your debt is in control and you're not in the red with your finances, so your what you own, your cash flow, minus what you owe, and it's a nice chunk of money right there, and your debt is minimal, just nice for you to play that dumb game. That's my opinion. I'll keep that to myself. Just enough for you to play the debt game. It's a great time to buy. But if you can't make a decision because you have to borrow,
yeah,
and your borrowing depends on you not to, like, don't buy. Don't, you're going to hang yourself. Don't do it. Just stay where you are, save up money, and get your act together, your financial act.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't buy because everybody else is doing it.
Yeah. Or you get, the interest rate's low. Don't, yeah.
Or you're attracted to it because it's so.
Pay attention to the debt to income ratio.
Yeah. In that,
for your own peace of mind, because Jesus, a house comes with maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't come with a landlord who's going to cover something.
Right, and just because you're moving into a bigger house and your payment's going to be the same because of the interest rates, that doesn't mean that your maintenance payments are going to be, the unspoken payments that nobody really tells you about, unless you have a great agent, and those payments go up. So no. It is still more expensive, even if you're paying the same amount of money to move up in a house.
Yeah.
You have more stuff to take care of.
Yeah.
Which can be a blessing if you're in the right position.
Yeah, and there's just not a lot of inventory for lower people, so like if you're moving down in a house, so
mm-hmm.
it's just like nothing there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, that was a good rant, I think.
I hope. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Take care. Have a great week.
We gone.